I'm going to read from Matthew 22, 1 through 14. The title of this evening's message is, Many Are Called, But Few Are Chosen. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of God is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And they sent forth another servant, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattings are killed, and the things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out unto the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in and seen the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. As Matthew recorded Christ's ministry, and one of the expressions our Savior often used, as we also heard in the other reading that we had this day, in Matthew 20, 1 through 16, this expression of Christ was brought out to me in a recent funeral I officiated at. It was a young man's favorite phrase. It is really an evangelistic phrase. Some 4 years ago, I met Louis Calicardo while on my hospital visitation rounds, a young man of 22 who was able to glean the depths of Christ's words. And this is the very reason Jesus spoke in parables, as he reveals to us in Matthew 13:9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and shall have more abundance. But whosoever does not, from him shall be taken away that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see not, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. This Greek word, gross, pecano, thick or thickened. We know now where the phrase of the thick-headed, you fill in the blank, comes from. Is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have been closed, lest they at any time should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand and with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 15 have very powerful words in them. Words that should bring you to an understanding of your spiritual standing with God. In these last days, they should bring all of us to our knees before our Lord and Savior to intervene, giving us spiritual awakening, and for those who know Him not, because in their spiritual deadness, they are incapable of asking or even understanding their fallen existence before Him. And indeed, as the parable tells us, there is a determination not to come and be saved. So let us take note. Jesus here is revealing a kingdom, His kingdom being established for His true believers here on earth through the person of the Holy Spirit who will dwell with them until they be called to His heavenly kingdom. It will be for the Jew and the Gentile alike. He will reign by His divine kingly authority. It will not be an abstract kingdom, for God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit manifests His sovereign rule in salvation and judgment and sanctification as He invades the principalities of Satan. This parable is more frightening than the one read in today's opening scriptures. Labors in the vineyard, which I will address also. The King, our sovereign God, calling of the Jews and Gentiles to a wedding feast, the marriage of His Son, Jesus, to the church, the believers, sent His servants to call them as they were given an invitation to the wedding, a prophecy from Scripture. But they would not come. And the second time, to those who were invited, I have prepared a dinner to the Jews and also to the Gentiles who were newly incorporated into the kingdom through the gospel with all privileges of the Jewish people. Salvation through faith, but in their pride, it was rejected. But the Gentiles began to accept it. Many had excuses while they could not attend, and some actually harmed His servants. In Thessalonians 2:15, it tells us, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. This they did, for they had no regard for the king. Therefore, the king in time would permit the armies of others to go forth and destroy that city and burn it, for he was angry with them. He then instructed his servants to go and find as many as they could in the highways and byways, to gather them all that they found, good and evil, and have them come to the wedding until there were many guests. A true picture of this church today, of the tares and the wheat that come together each day as we worship. Not that any are good, some are just worse than others. Therefore, the need of the gospel, for some are in dire need. For within it is our salvation, and our salvation is explained. Then, when the king came in, he saw a guest not having the wedding garment, which was furnished by the king, the wedding host, an expression of contempt. In those days, it was customary for the one giving the feast to supply particular garments for those that would be there for that occasion. In the period of time spoken, this is what they did. You can see that in Esther 8:15 and 2 Kings 22. When he was approached by the king not wearing this garment, he was speechless and had no excuse, as all have been provided for the entry into the wedding feast. Have you not adorned yourself with this gift? Will you find yourself speechless before our Lord, our sovereign God? On the day of judgment, the king said, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." See, we have been ourselves furnished with the garment, furnished with all things. And for the day of the feast, we should have that garment. It should cover us. It should allow us to worship and to enjoy the feast with the Lord. Here the Jews were called, but a few of them had been chosen. Chosen to eternal life. The masses of people were wicked, and the fruits of their life proved they were not chosen. Isaiah 14:12-13 explains Lucifer's desire to reign over God's creation. Yet even the Gentiles' fate lay in the Word of God, as the nations of satanic influence pummeling themselves into the bottomless pit of Hades. Sometimes we see the many nations that were, as we read the Word of God, that this happened to the Samaritans, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, which and many more, are called, but few are chosen. Jews, Gentiles, the great masses of nations then and now, their wickedness and their disregard for the king, they will not be chosen to salvation. Yet, all have an invitation to salvation. Nation after nation, but few bear the fruit which prove they are of the elect. There are many in today's church who prove to be without their wedding garment that the king has provided, and they will not be of the chosen. They will be bound hand and foot and taken away and cast into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. I'm not aware of the prisons if they are still following the practice of putting an incorrigible inmate who will not abide by the rules and is disruptive into the hole, a cell without a cot, no light, water and bread for their substance. This was a type of hell on earth for them, for the prisoner that wouldn't abide by the rules. But in no way is it near as bad as the aforementioned hell, as the aforementioned darkness. It was only for a limited time. The other is for eternity. Is there a way out of this horrible situation? Is there a way that it can be overcome? By the grace of God and His mercy there is. The Lord God Himself warns us, and through Jeremiah, some 630 years before Christ's ministry here on earth, 26:2-6. "Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto the cities of Judah, which came to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. If so be thy will, hearken in, and turn every man from his evil ways, that I may repent me of evil, which I purpose to do unto them because of their evil doings. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, if ye hearken to me, and to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, to the prophets whom I sent unto you, both raising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all nations of the earth." Yes, God demands the return of His people, the return of His people to Him, His word, which was given to His prophets, to His servants, or He will do away with the city, the place where they worship God in His special presence. Jesus speaks in Luke 13, 1 through 5. There were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such a thing? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or these 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men and dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And in Acts 17:30, in a time of this ignorance of God's, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, as Paul speaks of a man worship of false gods. Luther says, repentant is not an act of penance, but a radical change in mindset and equal deep transformation of life, as quoted by Ferguson. Now, let us end this time on a brighter note. Consider the other scripture reading, as I promised in the beginning. Jesus here is revealing his heavenly kingdom. He reaches his richness towards men. Our failure to understand at times as we murmur under the strain of change, and his rebuke of envy of others as they compare their labors with others, a place of value on both, and finally our entrance into the heavenly kingdom. Jesus speaks here mainly to the Jews about a future reward and the hereafter, as Christ fulfills his covenant of sacrifice here on earth as man, God. In his humanity, he remained sinless. In him, God's purpose and covenant with Israel is fulfilled, as explained in Acts 10, 38 through 41. And he ascended to his heavenly kingdom. We find Jesus correcting their thoughts of earning their rewards into heaven, that one has earned more than another by the time of service. Let us read this passage from Matthew 21 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into the vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the market. And he said to them, Go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye all here this day idle? They say unto him, Because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right you shall receive. So when evening was come, and the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when they came to the first, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, and saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, why? And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered that one of them, and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me to her a penny? Take thine, what is thine, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as I did unto thee. Is it not lawful for for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Our God has gifted each one in a special and unique way. And we must be reminded of these gifts which we are endowed with, either greater or lesser than another. It is to be used without withholding of them, in all humility and to the need of his subjects, or those who will be his, an unknown factor. There should be no envy, no malice toward any, for there will be some that are last in our estimation, yet will be first in his. And those we deem to be first will be last, as the Lord deems it. But praise his holy name. To all, the rewards are promised, they will be given. Some will receive a higher reward. These will be given proportionately to them who are first, in accordance with the use of their gifts. Now, in this passage, we find many are called, all real devout followers of Christ, and shall receive their proper reward. A few are chosen for a higher station, who will have received a greater reward, who might not have been as long as the others in his kingdom. But our Lord has chosen to honor them in a greater manner. One who comes to mind is Stephen, chapter 7 of Acts, who is made known to us as he witnessed to the Jews, and more so to the rulers of Israel, to remind them of God's judgment in the past, and now the nation which brought forth the promised seed, who would bless all nations. For this he was stoned to death. And again, we're reminded of Paul, the apostle, the writer of many epistles, who agonized through years and years and occasions of hatred by the nation of Israel and the surrounding principalities, as he brought the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to them. There are many more unknown and obscure saints we will never know until our home coming. And what a day that will be. What a day will that be? For many are called, but few are chosen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for your parables, Lord, who speak to our hearts, who allows us, Lord, to know there is more to what you have given us just than words, Lord. It is more of you who has been poured into our lives, Lord, into our lives through your Holy Spirit, allowing us, Lord, to delve into the depths of your understanding, of your speaking to us, Lord, and bringing us into your kingdom. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, as you have gifted each one. We thank you, Lord, as you have received each one. We thank you, Lord, as the promise you have given each one will be fulfilled. And Lord, how happy we will be, each one, to be in your kingdom, in your heavenly kingdom, as we leave this earthly kingdom. So, Lord, watch over us, bless us, keep us, allow your face to shine upon us, Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.